a really cool, interesting band. How are you, Ryan? We are here in Rock Cultura from Latin America, Argentina, Mexico, more than 10 million people watching our content. So we are really happy to have you here. I'm Rick, and welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Rick. Now I'm nervous knowing that there's so many people viewing your show.
No, don't worry. Actually, we were checking your album, and you have a new album, Genesis, right?
Yeah. How was Genesis coming out on Friday the 19th.
Cool. Yeah. Friday the 19th. So, how was the process of composition with this album regarding with the other album? This is your second album, right?
This is the second full-length LP. With this album, we did a lot of the tracking in mid-2018, actually. We have our own studio here in Tucson, Arizona, called Destin Stone. And it kind of affords us the opportunity to spend a lot of time. So we'd block out like a month at a time and just do songwriting and just create. And just we compiled like 25, 30 songs. And then Gabriel, the other band leader, and myself kind of went in and produced and kind of carved out 10 of the strongest that had the kind of the same sonic thread in between each song. So the 10 songs to make it an album. And yeah, so it's been a long process, actually. A lot of work going into just 10 songs, but it's all worth it. So yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. And this was recorded on... like before the COVID, during the COVID pandemic?
Yes. So the songs were written and recorded before the pandemic.
Okay.
But I feel like with the pandemic, the songs have aged more appropriately now because of some of the darker themes. I mean, even some of the lyrical passages, there is some like foretold tales of sickness and dark energy and matter, and it's just like it's really interesting, and I think it actually makes more sense that the album comes out now instead of a year ago.
Yeah Well, and this moment right now is really weird. Like, it's a pandemic. I never lived a pandemic
really
before.
I didn't really notice.
Yeah, like I don't know, like I am in Peru right now, and I am Peruvian. I was mentioning to you before that I sometimes change for places, but right now I'm locked down here. And regarding your music and the description of your band, you have Peruvian Chicha influence, right?
Oh, totally, 100%.
Yeah.
Our band, Rick, actually, our band started as a cover band in like 2012, 2013. And we just wanted to play chicha. Wow. We're just chicha covers like Los Chapis, Juan Echo y su Combo, Los Mirlos.
Mirlos, yeah.
Like all the classics. We just love the music so much. And basically, me and the other singer, Gabriel, we have our own like solo careers. And we were like, let's do this chicha cover band so we can make money at like restaurants and parties so we can like finance our solo projects. But then what happened was the band became so wildly popular here that we kept having to say yes to shows, and we kind of put the solo stuff aside. And then at some point in 2016, we decided we can't really do much more as a cover band. There's already so many great Peruvian bands that do it much better than us. So let's just take our rock and roll, indie rock sensibilities and still infuse it with the beautiful melodic passages and rhythms, the infectious rhythms of chicha and cumbia in general, not just chicha now, but, you know, we have like Mexican cumbia influence, Argentinian, Chilean, Colombian for sure, but just a melding pot of border sounds. And yeah, that's kind of where we're at now in 2021 after having done it as Sixa for 5 years. But yeah, we start off as a chicha cover band.
Wow, that's really interesting.
We're called Chicha Dust. I think a lot of people in Peru know us.
Oh, really?
We got a lot of yeah. If you go on YouTube and look up Chicha Dust,
yeah.
You'll find a lot of hits.
Actually, I had the lucky to perform with the Mirlos before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like not like wow. in the same concert. I have a band too. So and we mixed. Also, Peruvian, like Latin American genres with rock. So, like,
yeah.
we mix with cumbia with some we have some kind of psychedelic and
yeah.
We have this. Have you ever been around here or not yet?
No, we haven't. We've been invited a couple of times, but we've never been able to make it. Hopefully after COVID's over, we can get down there for sure.
That makes sense. And here we have like a bar, one of these like really main bars. And in that place, I had the chance to like my band, the Mirlos, and other bands was really amazing. They performed like as you listen in the CD album, because it's like really authentic and natural what it is. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And well, actually, this new album Genesis, you are sharing this single. What is this about? What's the topic behind this single Eclipse? If I'm not wrong,
Eclipse.
Eclipse. Yeah.
So Eclipse is the fourth single from the record and the last one before the release. So the song is more like musically, it's more like almost like narco Mexican cumbia, but the chorus is very much. I mean, I think we were thinking of Los Chapis when we wrote the chorus for sure, something very uplifting. But the song is just a lot of kind of like the relative themes of like good and evil in the world and all of that intertwining. And then the choruses, we wanted to uplift it and give it like a somewhat positive message for one of the first times in our career. Yeah, it goes into the major mode and has like a chicha theme behind it. And the lyrics are eclipsed by the wounds on my brother, eclipsed by the love we must find. And it's kind of a little bit more of a hopeful song, which is a little bit of a departure lyrically from us, as we always seem to be really thrilled with like darker themes in our lyrics. But this one, we wanted people to be able to dance to and feel good about.
That's cool. Yeah. I noticed that you released first video clips and then you released the audio files like in Spotify, right? Like you released video clips first, at least in this record.
Yeah. So I don't know how anything really works on the internet, but I'm having to learn like everybody else. And so we shot a video, and Rick, I don't know if you can appreciate how difficult it is to try to shoot a music video in COVID. I think we went through like four different directors and everyone just kept dropping out. Cause it's like, yeah, we can't go to that restaurant. We can't go to this place. We can't shoot anywhere. So we just went in our neighborhood, and then there was like a lowrider exhibit down the road. And we just decided to take our cameras there and just shoot a lot of like the Chicano culture that we have here growing up. Especially like in the 80s and 90s, that was like a big culture for us, for like Mexican American people living in this area. So like this whole vibrant, colorful Chicano culture, which the song really represents for sure. And it was nice to get like the lowriders and like the community of people, you know, the beautiful colors of this downtown area in Tucson, Arizona. And we were lucky. I mean, we just did it in one day.
Yeah. And it's really cool. I like it. The video, it has a really cool match colors and really quality and all of that. But in one day, that's
like, yeah. Well, 2 days technically. One day for the neighborhood stuff, like 2 hours, and then the other day just to go film the lowriders. Easy.
And that's really interesting actually, because I talked and work with other bands, and sometimes they overcomplicate things. You know, like sometimes they want to record a video and they took like, I don't know, months, and sometimes they don't even do nothing because it's not perfect, you know? And,
yeah, it's insane. I mean, I feel like now in 2021, with a very little budget, you can get something pretty decent together, and to overthink it, it's just like writing a song and recording it. If you think about it too much, the song's going to lose that whatever initial spark or you know, that initial idea gets lost the longer you work on it, and it can get dangerous. Obviously it's nice to put in the work and smart, but there is a thing of putting a little bit too much work and losing sight of what was important at first.
And who was the director of the last video?
We directed it really, but okay, we had a friend, Rebecca Noble, shoot us. She had a great camera, and then another friend who's super talented, named Andrew Shuda, who did the editing. So it's nice to have friends who are professionals in that industry.
That's really cool. And in the band, who's the one who composed, the lyrics or the songs?
Of Eclipse? I did most of Eclipse. I brought it in. It was like a piano demo that I brought in to the studio when we were doing our initial writing sessions. And it changed drastically. So the band really helped shape that song into what it is now. It went through like three or four different amalgamations before it ended up on, with the version that you hear. But yeah.
And that's
and then Gabriel helped with the chorus lyrics, I think. Yeah.
Oh, great. So it's something like when you have a new song, you work all together and they put their ideas, and it's like a mix of that process of composition.
I think with us, we open up the studio and we block out a fixed amount of time and just tell the rest of the bandmates, if you can make it, it would be good. And if not, we're still going to write stuff. So some days certain people would show up, other days they're not showing up. And in the end, we're still cranking out a couple songs a day, you know, and we don't have to think about them until much later when we really need to do the work and like go in and start taking away choruses, put a bridge in here and like actually turn them into songs. But that initial idea that we're talking about, that spark, that's the most important thing when you're in a session together, especially when it comes to writing. You want to be able to hone in that initial idea, because that'll come out much later. If you listen to it in 2 months, it'll still be there. You'll hear it. But if you don't have that initial spark, it's kind of worthless, really. So
it's a kind of a democracy dictatorship at the same time. You know? Like, you can come, but if you miss it, it's there.
<You know? laughs> Yeah, there you go. That's. Yeah. I don't know if that's the most diplomatic way to put it with my bandmates.
Yeah, that's really cool. Actually, we do something like that too. We are like, okay, you know, like I will not like stop the process because of just me, you know. So that's okay.
Yeah.
So you have
keeps moving. You gotta keep the
exactly. Yeah, that's really cool. And you have live discovery, right? The next week.
We have what? Excuse me?
A live session, I think. Something like that.
Yeah, I think we have a Bands in Town thing on the 24th. Yeah, and I'm telling you, just getting people get their schedules organized and trying to fit into a room when there's a global pandemic is really, it's pretty challenging. It's really it was a lot easier touring.
Yeah. Actually, like, but what's your plans? Like, we are all together in this thing, so like, you're gonna do whatever you can, right? Like,
So we have a bass player who's in France. He's French. We have our drummer lives in LA, and the rest of us are mostly here. So we're gonna do the same thing we do with songwriting. Whoever can make it, and it'll be what it is. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's cool.
We've done some acoustic live session stuff during COVID, and it's actually really cool to play a lot of these songs stripped down, because the bones of the songs are still really strong. Like if you just play with an acoustic guitar, they're still good songs, which is obviously important. But sometimes, you know, people rely on overproduction. So by the time they have to play it just solo acoustic, the song loses so much because the version people hear are like overproduced songs. So luckily for us, we can play all this stuff just with a guitar or a piano or something.
Yeah. And regarding instruments, I like to ask always this question, like what instrument would you like to learn? Like, you really like that instrument, but you don't know how to perform it maybe. And it's like, I would like to learn this instrument.
So I play, all kinds of guitars, and then piano I've been playing since I was maybe 16, so I'm okay at all this. But I can like get on drums and like fake it a little bit, but I would love to be like kick-ass drummer. Like, that would be so sick if I could just show up with any band and just sit on the drums and like know how to play that style or that stuff. I have like dreams of that sometimes. I think I kind of missed the boat, but you know, that would be super cool.
Actually,
it's kind of a cliche answer to play drums, but that's my answer for sure.
Well, I am a drummer, so
okay.
I can understand that. Yeah.
Like, it's cool. It's just a cool instrument just to be back there and just hold down the beat for everybody. Yeah. You're like the person that everyone is following.
Exactly. Yeah. And you have to be really like, it's like the fundamentals of everything, you know, like you're outspeeded.
Well, that's the drummer is the ultimate democratic dictator of the band.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. That's finally.
They're all following you, exactly. Whether they realize it or not.
Until they put you like a metro.
Oh, metronome. Yeah. And like, click track.
There's other dictators before you there. So. You can fake it, but it's really hard. I remember
that's
it was,
true.
We were playing live and had the click sequence, no?
Mm-hmm.
And we have some
click track.
Yeah, we have some other sounds regarding a part of the songs that is gonna sound mm-hmm. something, and I had to be really attached to that, you know. And sometimes it was my first time. I couldn't follow that, and I was thinking like, fuck, like it's 10 seconds gonna sound this in other like space of the song, and they were like, yeah, disconnecting everything in order not to sound the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh fuck no.
Yeah.
And then boom.
I think we've all been there. Once you start working with click tracks, you open yourself up to those types of problems live on stage.
Yeah, yeah. It's something that should have been like really like funny or cool. And then to be like really stressful, like how was the concert? Like, cool.
It was cool. I almost shit on myself. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. So like this mixed of what you are doing right now with the Peruvian and Latin American rhythms and rock. You told me that already that your influences were like. Chapis, Mirlos, Juan Eco, but in the part of the rock and roll music, what are your influences?
Well, the band, we all come from different backgrounds, but I think mostly with this band, we try to let the more of like the songwriting shine. So it's not so much of the rock and roll attitude initially, at least.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, you know, we like, as the two band leaders, this is the perfect way to describe us. It's like, I'm a Beatles guy and Gabriel's Rolling Stones. And then you just have that constant push and pull of those two like quintessential acts. But we listen to a ton of music. A lot of stuff, aside from like the cumbia stuff, we are highly influenced by like spaghetti Western soundtrack stuff as well. Songwriters like Townes Van Zandt, Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen. We love Leonard Cohen. David Bowie. I'm pretty sure David Bowie, every member of the band might be, you know, David Bowie might be like one of our favorites for all of us. So that's like one person we can all really agree on as an artist and a songwriter also. But yeah, it depends. It just depends on who you're interviewing in the band. I could tell you who I like, but it doesn't mean the whole band
is
pulling from those elements.
That's really cool. So, where we can find you, like your social media, your website?
Yeah, so Sixa, it's Sixa. We're all over Instagram. We got a Facebook. We got a Twitter. We got a YouTube. Spotify, anywhere you listen to music. We're the only one that's called Sixa, Sixa.
That's cool. Thank you very much, Ryan. We were really happy to listen to your music. It is really, really original thing for us, actually. Like, it's something that we can relate a lot. And well, thank you very much to being here for your time, and keep rocking.
Right on, Rick. Thank you so much. One quick thing. Oh, I was just going to say shout out to Los Wemblers. Rest in peace, Elmer. He was a legend.